Do you ever get woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to pray for somebody? Some of you do. I just woke up at 2:30 this morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep because I knew God needed me to pray for somebody. You know, we did a funeral here yesterday. The church was almost full of a lot of my friends and neighbors from out north around Leader. And God woke me up around 2:30 this morning, and I could not go back to sleep. And I began to pray as I remember the faces of the people in that crowd yesterday. I began to pray for individuals all over the sanctuary. And when I think of this title, "Do You Know What You Believe?" That's what I was praying for at 2:30 this morning. And I don't know how long I prayed. It was a while. But for faces and people, men and women all over the sanctuary yesterday, that were here to say farewell to their departed one. And folks, I just want to challenge us to think for a moment this morning. Do you know what you believe? We just sang a song, the first one. What did it say? I know whom I have believed. I know what I believe in. And I got to ask us, friends, do we really? Because in America, I saw some polls recently, we're not sure what to believe. And so I ask us, do you know what you believe in? Do you know where your faith is today? Have you thought about that lately? What is my faith in? Did you know that in America, there are about 5.5 million Jewish folks? The Orthodox Jewish folks have a belief system, primarily in the Old Testament. Did you know that there are somewhere between 4 and 8 million Muslims in America, depending on which statistic you look at? They range really all the way from 2 to 12 million and growing in America. But conservatively, there are 4 to 8 million. And you've heard Pastor Salek say there are 1.7 or 1.8 billion Muslim folks. They have a belief system. Did you know, too, that there are 2.4 million Buddhists in America? Did you know also that there are 1 million Hindus in America that have their own belief system? And some of you have seen the Truth Project and you've seen Judith. You remember Judith, don't you? The universalist pastor lady that lays out these New Age things that we wonder about. There's 500,000 universalists that have a belief system in America. And there's millions of atheists, several million, agnostics. There are thousands of religions today, friends, around the world. Thousands of them. Oh yes, we know the main ones. We know the Protestants that are grouped in this, the Lutherans and Baptists and Methodists and Anabaptists and that are grouped into this Protestant, and we've got the Catholics and we've got the Evangelicals and the Reformed, and we've got et cetera, et cetera. But there are thousands of faiths around the world today. There are thousands of things that people are putting their faith in. And so I was listening to a program this last week about God in America. And quite frankly, when the polls go out, we're not quite sure what we believe in. And so that got me thinking as I was reading through Romans, which is a challenging book. It got me thinking, do we know? Do we really know what we believe in? I'd like to see a poll, I guess, from the couple of hundred folks come here every Sunday morning. And I'd like to see a poll from the heart. Do I really believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin? Do I believe really that He was born of a Virgin Mary? That He is God Himself that come to earth for humanity? Do I really believe that? Because folks, quite frankly, there are churches full of people that don't. And so I want us to think today. I want us to think today, what do I really believe in? Then ask yourself, do I have the right faith? Do I have the right faith? Most Americans, according to the poll, are very confused about religions. Matter of fact, many are confused at their own religion. Most are not up on somebody else's religion. It behooves us, friends, to know if we claim the name of Jesus, to know what this says. That's why I challenge us so often. Have you read the Word lately? Have you read Romans lately? Have you read it at all? Pretty good stuff. That's why I challenge us so often to get into the Word. Do you know what you believe? One day, friends, we're going to end. This life is going to end. We're going to stand at the very edge of eternity. We're going to stand before God. And He's not going to ask us what church you went to. He's not going to ask you how much money you made, how many titles Jim or anybody else had behind your name. He's going to ask, have you known me? Have you known my Son? This life that we know, oh, we love it so well, and we're reminded of its brevity every time we do a funeral. But this life that we know so well is only a moment in the expanse of eternity. And one day we will stand before Almighty God. I believe this to be true. We will stand before God and He will ask us, have we known Him? What have you done for me? And it all hinges on, not that I was a member of this club or this club or that club or this church, but have you known my Son? And I recognize, I've said this before, I recognize lots of folks think there's lots of ways to heaven. The Bible says there's one way to heaven. That's why I ask us this morning, friends, do you know what you believe? If someone were to ask you about your faith, do you know what to tell them? If someone were to ask you, are you going to heaven tomorrow because the world is going to end today, do you know what to tell them? If someone asked me, and I used to love how Dr. D. James Kennedy, used to ask thousands of people on TV and on radio, if you die today, are you going to be in heaven tomorrow? But he wouldn't end it there. He would say, because everybody wants to say yes. He would say, based on what? You see, the world will tell us there's lots of ways to heaven. That's why I'm challenging us, friends, this morning. Do you know what you believe? When we sing this song, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, is He really Lord of all in your lives? Because if He's not Lord of all, friends, He's not Lord at all. And so I want us to think today, or even all this week, do I know what I believe? Do I know where my faith is? Do I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I step from life to death today, I'm going to be in the presence of God and with Jesus in heaven forever? Why? Because I know Him and I know His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to take a look at verse 16. I know that in some of your cases that might be your favorite verse. We're going to look at Romans 16, then we're going to jump back and look at a few of the first ones. And we're going to look at this thing called the gospel of Christ, because quite frankly, friends, there are a lot of gospels out there being spewed out and proclaimed around the world. There are a lot of messages out there. Do we know what the gospel of Christ is? Romans chapter 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and we have it on the big screen if you'd like to watch it there. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said to the church at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. This gospel message of Jesus Christ is the power of salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, he says. What is this gospel of Christ? Is that the only truth for humanity? Have you ever asked yourself that? Is that the only way to heaven, the gospel of Christ? Friends, we need to know what we believe. We need to be able to encounter somebody on the street, and when they say to me, where's your faith? What is your faith in? Are you going to go to heaven? We need to know what we're going to tell them. We need to know as follows. If we claim the name of Jesus, we need to know whom we have believed. Just like the song said. Romans chapter 1, Paul says this, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now, what is that gospel of God? He begins to elaborate a little bit, and this is just his greeting to the church of Rome. Called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, and part of that gospel is this, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. He's spelling this out, part of this gospel message, born of the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He's starting to lay out what is this gospel of God. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. And he goes on with his greeting, his salutation, if you will. In verse 8, he says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout. Now let me stop there for a moment and ask us, friends, is your faith spoken of throughout where you work? Is your faith spoken of where you live? Paul is saying, first of all, I want to thank you, church at Rome, because people recognize your faith is in Christ and it's noticeable. And so I read this over and over this week, and I'm wondering, does anybody know my faith exists in Christ because of how I live? Paul writes to them and says, I thank my God that your faith in Christ is evident. Isn't that good? And I challenge us, friends, to wonder and to understand and to live out, does my faith speak for itself in Jesus? And so I think of this gospel, and I ask myself, what is this gospel? It's part of what I believe in. What is this gospel? And I go back to what Paul has just said in verses 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a message of promise from the Old Testament. This message, this gospel, is a message of promise from the Old Testament all the way back to Genesis. The message of promise that points to Christ. And throughout, interwoven between the New and the Old Testament, it's a message of salvation. And in the New Testament, it's a message of hope. It's a message of hope. And so, friends, this gospel of Christ is this message that God has revealed to us through His Word about His Son, about eternity, and how we come to know Him, to trust in Him, to believe in Him, to repent before Him, and believe that there is a better place. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves people, and yet many, many, many people are confused about this whole idea of salvation and Jesus and all other things that are being thrown out, this smorgasbord of religions that we can choose from. And so I'm thinking as I read verse 16 again, do we know what we believe in? Paul said again, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. Because this gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. In the years 1740, George Whitefield, you heard of George Whitefield? George Whitefield was a contemporary of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. In the 17-teens, in the 1720s, they were called the Holy Club. Back in the days in England, And George Whitefield came to America. He was with Wesley some. They didn't have complete unison in their theological and doctrinal thinking, but they were men of God that God used. And anyway, George Whitefield come to America, and in 1740, did you know that George Whitefield walked thousands of miles over those next few years, calling out to people all over, and for the most part, the church, even particularly in the Southeast, wouldn't accept him with his message. He was calling out to people all over the Eastern Seaboard, "You must be reborn." Some of the church didn't like that message. Some of the church in America in 1740 didn't like that message. "Well, what do you mean to tell me we have to be reborn? You must be reconnected in your spirit with God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," was his message. And Wesley was doing the same thing in England. And revival was happening in England. At the same time, tens of thousands were coming to hear Whitefield. Tens of thousands were coming to hear Wesley in these same times. And they were preaching this idea, this notion, purely from Scripture, purely from Jesus, that we are a sinful people, disconnected from God, until we have been born again, we are lost in our soul and forever. And Whitefield spoke to as many as 20,000 people at once in Boston in 1740. Wesley spoke to as many as 20 and 30 and 40,000 in places in England with no PA system. They just spoke to the multitudes, but they spoke the same message: you must be born again. And the Church of England over there at that time didn't like it, and some of the church here in America didn't like it, because they were preaching a different message that says, yes, even if you're in the church, the name on the church is not going to save you, your traditions are not going to save you, your good works are not going to save you, you must be born again. And some people welcome that message and recognize, "I need Jesus." And some people scoffed at that message and said, "I've got my traditions. The church has got their established stuff. We're good enough." But there was this battle between these messengers of God, the Whitefields, the Wesleys, the Jonathan Edwards types, and on through the next couple of hundred years. But these guys all preached rebirth. And so today, friends, when I ask you, do you know what you believe? Churches and denominations and movements, you pick them, they're everywhere. But there is a local central truth in the Word of God of Jesus that we must know as truth if we are ever to be part of God's kingdom and part of the kingdom of heaven someday. You say, "Jim," and people tell us all the time, "That's narrow-minded." But friends, I've said this before, if we don't have the Bible to go on, then what have we got? If we start picking and choosing segments of the Bible that are no longer relevant, then what have we got? This document, you can learn all about this, has more supporting documents than any other document in history, going back to the first century. The people have done the research. You don't have to if you're a skeptic and you maybe believe, "Well, some of it's true, some of it's not." The research has been done. The documents are there. This is God's Word. And if we don't have this to go by, friends, we got nothing. Yeah, we can put our faith in this guy or that guy, and we can follow that movement or what this person, this he or she said. But if we don't come back to this, we've got to ask ourselves, what is it that I believe in? I got so much stuff in here, we could be here a long time. Do you really believe in Acts 4:12? Acts 4:12 says there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. And Acts 4:10 is talking about the name of Jesus. Because if you don't, friends, you get to roll the dice with life, I guess. If we don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, we're just rolling the dice. We're just playing Russian roulette, I guess, with life. The Bible is so clear. Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only way to God the Father. And it's more than, and I've read a lot of writers that are a lot smarter than I am. It's more than just an intellectual assent. Yes, I believe that God is out there somewhere. It's more than that. It's a recognizing that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. It's more than just a vague understanding that there is a God in the heavens out there somewhere. I sat with a young woman right in here the other day. She walked in literally right off the streets. She poured out her heart to me for 10 minutes. The hurts, the anguish, and all the things associated with it. And she come in here, I guess, looking for what direction do I go to next. And I didn't. I had to ask her who she was. I forgot. I'd seen her a few years ago sometime. And I finally listened to her pour out her heart. And I said, I believe you are here for one reason only. Because God is speaking to your heart. Because God has allowed some of these things in your life. Yes, they hurt. But God has brought you here, I believe, this moment so that I might give you some literature and tell you there's good news, and His name is Jesus. You see, friends, we live around, all you have to do is read a couple of emails from Stacy Swecker. She's now in Connecticut. She's moved from here. Merle's in the Army. They live in Connecticut. All you have to do is read a couple of emails about Tessa's conversation with ninth graders in school to know sometimes we live in a very sheltered place. All kinds of conversation with these ninth graders that are blowing Tessa's mind didn't happen here. And yet, friends, we look around us and the hurts and the needs of humanity are real, but it all boils down to, do I know Christ Jesus as Lord? Do I know what I believe in? Am I just walking through life taking my chances? I told my good friend who laid in a casket right here a month or two ago yesterday. He laid here yesterday, but a month or two ago I said to him, I wouldn't kid you about this stuff. This stuff is serious. Someday we are going to stand before Almighty God and He's not going to ask me how much money I made at C-Fest or how many titles I had or anything else. He's going to want to know, did we know Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you know what you believe today, friends? Can you say, like Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the salvation to humanity. Let me close with this. I got about 3 pages to go. I only had 4. I was working with a little fella at Awana's last Wednesday night. Just broke my heart. Dave Horn was telling us last Sunday night about a little 9-year-old girl. Same as this little fella I was working with right downstairs. Never heard about Jesus. Never heard about God. Didn't know nothing about a Bible. And I was trying to help him with his very first verse. This very first verse, and he was having a really hard time memorizing. Really simple little verse from Psalm 25:4. Those of you kids especially that have been in Awana's, you know the verse. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And I was trying to help this little fella memorize this verse. And the longer he labored with it, the more brokenhearted I become. Because I'm thinking, there is a billion people that don't know Jesus. There may be 5 billion people in the world that don't know Jesus. There's only 6 billion total. And there may be 4 or 5 billion plus that don't know Jesus. And I'm trying to help this little boy understand God loves you. You're reading a story. You're trying to memorize a little verse here, little fella, about a God that's real. And when you memorize this little scripture that says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord," is that not our heart's cry, friends? Show me thy ways, O Lord. That's where God wants us to be. To come to Him and cry out, like I was trying to help this little boy memorize, cry out, "Show me thy ways, O God. I know you must be up there somewhere. I know you must be real. Teach me thy paths." And He's going to point you to Jesus. He's going to point you to the Messiah. He's going to point you to what He has provided for us. He is going to point you to the Savior. When we come to Him and say, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths," He's going to show you what He's done for us. He's going to show us Jesus. Friends, sometimes I realize I get wrapped up in some strange questions. But this question this week has haunted me night and day. There are so many options. There are so many options to choose from. So many things to follow. And I simply challenge you, do you know what you believe? Because if you haven't placed your faith wholly in Jesus Christ as Lord, according to the Bible, you are not ready for heaven. You will not go to heaven. I know I'm called radical. I know I'm called far left. I know I'm called out there. But I believe the Bible is true. And if we have not solidly, humbly confessed our sin and invited Christ Jesus into our life, we are not ready for heaven. And heaven may be at any moment. We may be one breath away. If you're not absolutely sure, I want you to come down here. I'm going to be right here in the corner. I want to pray with you. Folks, eternity depends on whether you've recognized Christ Jesus as Savior or not. Eternity depends upon that. And the adversary is going to be whispering in your ears this morning and saying, "Don't listen to that clown. Don't listen to that lunatic. You're doing all right the way you are." But friends, if you don't know what you believe and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, do not go any further in life. It may be too late.